Welcome back, everyone. This is the Red and Yellow Kingdom podcast. I'm your host, Scott, joined by Rich with your average everyday Chiefs talk. All of our previous recordings are available on all major podcast platforms. Just look and search for the Red and Yellow Kingdom podcast, as well as our social media pages on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. All right, so we are heading into the last weekend of regular season football. Normally, you know, previous years, actually, like last week was the last week. This year, obviously, we have the extra regular season game, 17 games this year. So a week 18 we finally have this year. So we are actually matched up against one of our rivals, the Denver Broncos, this week. They're in Denver. Obviously, we had taken care of business with the Broncos early on in the year. Beat them at home, so now it's our time to go there and beat them in Denver. So for our last game going into the playoffs. So I will just go ahead and, Rich, I'll just send it to you for the numbers between both teams.
Sounds good. All right. So the Chiefs come into this game at 11-5, hoping to finish at 12-5, and Titans lose a game, and then we step into the number one seed. But, you know, we just got to take care of our business. Broncos are 7-9. Heading into the, I'll go into the individual leaders first. Right, of course, Mahomes leads the way for the Chiefs, 409 of 614, 4,569 yards. Maybe he throws a ton of yards for this game. Maybe he does 450 and gets over 5,000. So hopefully, 35 touchdowns. Tyreek Hill leads the way for the Chiefs at 110 receptions, 1,237 yards and 9 touchdowns, with Darrell Williams leading everything on the ground, 137 rushes, 541 yards, and 6 touchdowns. The Broncos' leader at quarterback is not playing in this game. The Broncos have axed him for the rest – I shouldn't say axed, but they've shelved him for the rest of the year in Teddy Bridgewater. Drew Luck's numbers from last week's game were obviously just really one game, so won't cover them too much. This is really his second – full game of the year. And then getting into so their receiving leader is a man that is not available at the moment in Cortland Sutton. Nope, you know what? I always get Cortland Sutton and Michael Gallup confused, and Cortland Sutton is still available. So he's at 57 receptions, 763 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Javonte Williams is their leading man on the ground with 191 rushes, 857 yards, and 4 touchdowns. Javonte is sure, I'm sure, someone that you are very familiar with, Scott, in V&A, North Carolina Tar Heel fan. So,
yep.
Very familiar name. He's a beast. So, and then heading into the team categories, I'll start off with the Chiefs, being that they are the away team. Points scored per game for the Chiefs is 28.3, which is the fourth best in the NFL. Broncos are at 19.4, 23rd best in the NFL. Points allowed, Chiefs are at 21.3, 13th ranking. And the Broncos allow 18.4 games, which is the third best in the NFL. They are both doing really well in the takeaway differential. Chiefs are at plus 3, which is 11th. And the Broncos are at plus 2, which is 13. From a yardage perspective, just to give some insight there, Chiefs are at 283, which is second best in the NFL, 213, which is 19th best in the NFL for the Broncos. Rushing yards per game for the Chiefs is 113, 16th ranking, 114 for the Broncos, 14th ranking. And then defensively, Chiefs give up 256 yards in the air, which is 28th best. And the Broncos give up 212, which is the 7th best. Rushing defense is 113 for the Chiefs, which is 17th best, 109 for the Broncos, which is the 14th ranked defense. So those are the individual and team numbers for both squads. Scott, I'll turn it over to you to talk to us about how the health of both teams is for this week.
All right. So the injury report for our final game of the year against the Broncos, obviously they still list Lucas Niang on the injury report, even though, because he have not been designated for IR for the season, but we obviously know he is done for the year. So he's listed, of course, out, so he will be out. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire also is out this week as well for the Saturday's game. I'm still with that shoulder injury, so he'll be resting up to hopefully play in our wild card or our second game if we do end up getting the bye. So he is out. That is it as far as on the Chiefs front that I see. Good news is Orlando Brown's calf injury. He has fully practiced both days so far this week, so it looks like he will actually be playing back at left tackle for us, with Wiley still being at right tackle. So that's good news for us on the offensive line front for us. As far as the Broncos go, they have obviously a ton of injuries, it looks like, going to in this last game. Obviously, like you mentioned, the big one with their quarterback, with Teddy Bridgewater, concussion. He's listed as out for the Saturday. And then they have a bunch of players listed as questionable. I'll just kind of round them out here. Ronald Darby, their cornerback, shoulder injury. He's questionable. Kareem Jackson, their safety, back shoulders listed as questionable. Kenny Young, linebacker, concussion, listed as questionable. Melvin Gordon, thumb hip injury, looks like questionable. Shelby Harris, defensive end, questionable. Draymond Jones, defensive end, questionable. Shamar Stephen, another defensive lineman, knee injury, questionable. And Javonte Williams, one of their other running backs, with a knee injury, is also listed as questionable. It does say Sutton is listed as questionable as well as the illness, because he did not actually practice today, so he might be a game time decision, but probably expect him to play if it's nothing like COVID related or anything like that, possibly. So they have a ton of people. Obviously, as you can count here, this is 9 people listed as questionable, and with Bridgewater being out, with Drew Lock getting the start again this week. But obviously, they're not playing for anything, so they'll probably obviously have a lot of their, other players probably vying for positions for next year if some of these players don't end up playing this week. So as far as going into, our matchup between the Broncos, and I did say a little bit ago, I think I said earlier on in the season, because I totally forgot, we actually played them like 4 or 5 weeks ago, because a lot of our defense or our division matchups have been a lot towards the end of the season, which we won 22-9 at home. But, as far as, what are your thoughts as far as the, probably just in one summary, like what are your thoughts as far as the Broncos 2021 season?
So for me, I mean, it's what, second year, or is it the third year of Vic Fangio? I guess I could look that up really quick. So their defense is solid, right? They gave up Von Miller, sent him over to Los Angeles, just to get something for him before free agency hit, and they didn't get nothing for him. So I think they're a team with Fangio that is good defensively. They've got some, young defensive prospects that are really, really good. They've got several in the secondary, a good, solid defensive line. Offensively, they have Javonte Williams, who I think is going to be a great NFL back coming. He's already there in regards to how he's playing so far this year as a rookie. They don't have a quarterback, right? Bridgewater isn't the answer. He's he's been dinged up. That's where he's at now. Drew Lock, they've given him a chance in previous years, and he just hasn't been consistent enough. There's talent there, but something about it, just he hasn't been able to put it together and be a consistent performer. Wide receivers, they've got Judy. They've got Sutton. They've got Noah Fant at tight end. So they have talent. They just haven't been able to put it together. And in my opinion, I think it's one of those situations where, once again, having that defensive coach overall, running things, the defense is good and they've been doing really well. But then the offense, their offensive coordinator just hasn't been able to put it together for them when they're consistent. But at the end of the day, right, it's all about the quarterback, and that's their problem. So they were in one of the teams that was in the running, supposedly, for Aaron Rodgers, if that would happen. And, yeah, so at the end of the day, their record actually is, to me, a bit surprising. I think they've won a little bit more than what I thought they would, especially with all the injuries and their uncertainties at quarterback. So, in my opinion, like I said, their year has just been another discovery year for them, another year of growing up. But I think they've got some good pieces together, and if they can figure out the quarterback situation – and then get some consistency out of the wide receivers, because I know Cortland Sutton was hurt last year. He's been okay this year. And then Judy was hurt this year. You know, they've got pieces there. So it's the season for me has gone kind of as expected, maybe even a little bit better than expected. I kind of put them at like 5 wins or maybe even 6. So, yeah, that's my 2 cents on the Denver Broncos in 2021.
And you got to remember, too, I think we talked about, obviously, the first time we had played them, their first 3 games were like cakewalks because of the teams that they played against. Because if you look at the teams where they're at with the Giants, Jags, and Jets, what they're all within, maybe not top 5, but definitely top 10 for their draft picks going for, you know, 2022, those 3 teams, you know, being one of the top 10 slots for that. So, as you mentioned, they're probably better than they, you know, with the 7 wins that they've gotten this year. You take away some of those like easy games they had this year, they're probably right along the line of, you know, probably 5 wins this year, I would think, maybe even 6 tops, like you just said. So, yeah, so then just getting kind of some of those extra easy games in there, which, like I said, you don't pick who you play. You play who has been playing for you. So it's nothing that wasn't their fault for that. But I just loved how at the beginning of the year when everyone was like, oh, the Broncos are 3-0, and they're, I think, in tie for the lead of the division. I'm like, it's August. I mean, it's September. You know, you don't win championships in September, not even October. Right. You do in December and January when you're playing pretty well, and even February. But, yeah, I'm pretty much exactly agree with kind of what you were saying about them. They seem to have some potential there on paper, but their quarterback kind of, you know, keeps dragging them down. They just haven't found that guy yet and, you know, look to see if Aaron Rodgers is that possibility there in Denver, or who knows if something goes crazy in Seattle and they decide to all of a sudden they want to get rid of Russell Wilson, or if the situation with Deshaun Watson in Houston, you know, that they might have a chance of maybe getting some veteran quarterback in the offseason. Maybe they might, you know, be a better overall team because they have, like I said, they have some talent that they can have. It's just the quarterback situation has kind of been downplaying them for pretty much since Peyton Manning, right? I mean, they really haven't had anybody consistent since then.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and you could debate that, right? His last year there when they won the Super Bowl,
right?
It was not that good. So
the defense, that was pretty much almost all defense. I mean, obviously they put points, but the defense was carried that team to that Super Bowl for sure. On that, so as far as our key matchups, looking for in this game this week, what are you looking for on the offensive front for the Chiefs?
All right. So for me, on offense, it's score a lot often and rest, right? So what I mean by that is take care of the game from a points perspective. And yes, I understand it's the NFL. It's not over till it's over. But if you make Drew Lock throw the ball 40 times this game, you're probably in a good situation, right? The biggest thing to me is, again, right, get the ball into the hands of Darrell Williams as quickly as can be. You know, Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, get them the ball quickly, right? Patrick Surtain has been on the DNP list for a while, so I'm not sure if he'll be playing, and I'm not 100% sure if he follows wide receivers around. I think he just plays on one side, and they keep him there. But, again, right, just get the ball in the hands of playmakers quickly. Take care of business early, have a strong start, you know, see how healthy Orlando Brown is. If there's any sign of him, you know, having issues, then just shelf him, you know, let him get healthy for the playoffs. Whether it's Thuney or anybody else that steps in wherever, you know, I'm sure they can manage to do well for this one game. Right. So yeah, that's my thing, is get the ball to Williams, Kelce, and hopefully Hill as quickly as can be and let them do their thing in space. And hopefully we take care of points early, and then we can kind of cruise or manage the game quickly.
And that's kind of how I had it listed as, is just, you know, try to get up on there early. So then by the time we're getting close to the fourth quarter, you know, we might be resting some people going into the playoffs. Obviously, we, you know, at the same time, it's, we can't really take anything easy. You know, anybody in the NFL, you can't take one game for granted, because you could see how, you know, someone can, you know, like I said, any given Sunday, you know, somebody in this case would be Saturday, you know, can beat you. So, you can't really look forward to the playoffs. And, even though, You know, the Broncos have some people down, and they don't have, you know, maybe a team like the Bengals. Obviously, we're not playing against this week, but try to get ahead of it with them early. So then, yeah, like I said, in the second half, we can kind of rest some of the starters going to the playoffs. But just make sure you take care of business and, like I said, put the points on the board, and hopefully, you know, we can kind of, you know, just rely on the defense kind of putting the stop of, you know, their offense. Like I said, they don't have a really good quarterback right now, you know, as far as they're going with Drew Luck, which actually kind of get into that, since speaking of the defense is kind of what I had for our matchup on, you know, defense is just like you kind of just mentioned, have him throw the ball as much as possible. Melvin Gordon, obviously, and I'm glad I got that right, because if I didn't say, you know, I didn't say Melvin Gordon, I didn't say Melvin Ingram. But no, Melvin Gordon and is it Javonte Williams, I believe, what I mentioned, they're both kind of banged up. So, you know, they could be obviously throwing a lot, which will actually go into our advantage playing against Drew Lock. So, you know, basically just getting pressure on Drew Lock. You know, he's going to probably make some mistakes, hopefully a couple turnovers and more, a couple sacks, 4 or 5 sacks in this game. But yeah, just defense is just pretty much is just going to kind of, you know, maintain the game, kind of play the same game you've been playing a little bit. I would say not so much you were playing against the Bengals, but before how they were playing consistently the 8 weeks before that. And just, you know, like I said, put some pressure on Drew Lock, and ultimately should be a good defensive day. I'd be looking forward to.
Yeah. I mean, and for me, it's, you know, spot on with Drew Lock, right? It's, I have it down here as make him see a lot of things, right? So change it up in coverage, you know, regain that part of it. We know that we're predominantly a man coverage team. But, you know, dropping players, hopefully not Daniel Sorensen, into coverage and just making it confusing so that, you know, something appears to be open or you appear to be in a one-on-one matchup and, you know, you're rolling a safety over the top. Hopefully Thornhill, I expect Matthew to have at least one interception with how this game goes with Drew Lock. But, yeah, it's really just making Drew Lock be Drew Lock. You know, I know the Kansas City native, we're probably all rooting for him being from Kansas City, but not in this situation,
right,
against the Chiefs. So. That's the biggest thing for me. And then just getting that confidence back defensively, right? Last week, the Chiefs defense was really, really bad. Gets back in, you know, a good play calling rhythm, feeling good before the playoffs. You know, everybody, you know, get some, hopefully Charvarius has a positive game as well, because, you know, he got beat up mightily last week. So yeah, for me, it's really the play calling and the secondary being the key to this game. Now, obviously, that means that Chris Jones will have to wreak havoc up front with Drew Lock. Looking at – I was trying to look at the sack numbers from last week, and they were not readily available that fast. Let me see how many times did he get sacked. He only got sacked once. He did – yeah, he had one touchdown and one sack last week. So it wasn't a terrible game for Lock, but we know, according to history, right, Lock – does throw interceptions. He had 15 last year,
mm-hmm,
and was sacked 19 times. So again, right, Chris Jones creating disruption, which hopefully should bring more confidence for the secondary, and we just play a cleaner, more Chiefs like in basically what the second half of this season game.
And yeah, I'm right on there. I think the ultimate thing with this game is to stay focused, get back on track, get your confidence back heading into the playoffs. I think that's kind of like the basic things. And in a way, you know, it could be a blessing in disguise. And a lot of times you don't really look at it that way, but it can be a blessing in disguise that we did lose last week, because do you want to go into a long winning streak like that going into the playoffs?
Right.
Sometimes it doesn't work out that way. Sometimes you need a wake-up call and say, hey, look, you know, these are the things that we did wrong in this game. Let's fix it for this game and going on forward. So, you know, it kind of is a blessing in disguise possibly that, you know, we lost, you know, right before the playoffs start to get right, that refocus back on there. So
yeah, get that bad game out the way, right? It was good that we did that. That is the positive way we were talking about it, is get that bad game out now, so, you know, you're not, you know, invincible. And we definitely did that. So I think we're good.
Definitely, for sure. So as far as our game predictions for the score, I mean, obviously, I know we both have the Chiefs winning this game. I have it 34-13, because I think we're going to score a bunch early, maybe even you know, and add an extra touchdown or a field goal in the third quarter. And I think by then it's pretty much going to be over. But yeah, my prediction is 34 Chiefs, Broncos 13.
Yeah, so for me, around there, we got the same Broncos points, or not Chiefs. So I am Chiefs 27, Broncos 13. I think we will score a lot in the first half, and then the rest of the game is going to be kind of chill. I think Locke might get more of a touchdown when the game is out of hand. So I think it'll be like 24-3 going into halftime. And both teams are like, okay, well, hey, Chiefs are like, we're just going to cruise to the end of this game. Broncos are like, hey, we don't really have anything to play for except for a better draft spot, which technically a loss is better there. I don't think they're going to, you know, risk any of those guys get beat up like Javonte Williams. I think Melvin Gordon is done in Denver. Like I said, Sutton, Judy have all been hurt this year. So that's the thing for me that I think this game, who knows like how much the Broncos will push some of their guys that are, you know, 50-50 on playing, because what is the benefit to them, right? I mean, it is a benefit of them to lose, which I know professional sports teams don't operate to lose, but you get my point on how that works, right? So, yeah, for me, it's all about, I think this game is handled in the first half and the second half. People just cruise to it. Locke scores on like a mixture of Chiefs first versus second team defense. That's how they get to 13 with some field goals. Darrell Williams has two touchdowns, one on the ground, one catching. I think Kelsey has one, and then we go two field goals. So, yeah, 27-13 for me.
Like I said, kind of like I said, pretty much our same mindset, same score we have for the game. So I did add something here and to talk about here before we actually get into our last topic of today. But so what do you think as far as the chances of the Chiefs actually getting the number one seed? I know obviously we play on Saturday. Titans play the Texans on Sunday. So it kind of gives them maybe a slight advantage that obviously they have a different day of knowing obviously if we win or not. But, you know, obviously on paper, we're obviously expect to beat the Broncos. But do you give, even though, you know, it's any given Sunday, right? The Titans are clearly the better team. They got beat by the Texans earlier this year on the road. The Texans beat the Titans early on this year on the road in Nashville. So now they're playing at home for this game. But what would you say, think like the chances of it actually going into the Chiefs' direction as far as getting that number one seed back?
Yeah, I mean, to your point, right, it's any given Sunday, but I mean, the Texans really, that's all they're doing is looking to play spoiler against a division rival and the year on a better than expected note. The Texans have actually been better than what I thought they were, you know, with their situation. So I do think the Titans will still pull this one out. I think it'll be close. But yeah, I think the Titans will still win. So if I had to put a percentage on it, I think it's like a 65-35 for the Titans.
Right.
Don't get me wrong, right? The Texans have been playing better, you know, over the last few games. But yeah, I see the Titans taking care of business. And then we end up in the second seed. But there is also the possibility of us still dropping to the fourth, right?
Right.
So what are your thoughts on there, on those? Because, well, I guess let me clear it up for you then, because the Bengals are not playing anybody. Joe Mixon's out, Joe Burrow's out. So it looks like they aren't, you know, trying to win the game. Well, I shouldn't say trying to win the game, right? But they're not going all out to win the game.
So I didn't know that Joe Burrow was out. I know that Mixon was out because of the COVID list. They have about seven people on the COVID list, I think.
Yeah, so but they're shelving Burrow because of that injury that he picked up versus the Chiefs late in the game. They're like, you know.
Oh, I see.
They're okay with dropping to, I think, what they are. Are they third or fourth right now?
They wouldn't drop. They're third right now. They wouldn't drop any lower than four because they won the division.
So, yeah, I think that's what their thought process is. They're okay if they drop to fourth. So, sounds like, you know, the Chiefs could maybe drop to third at the lowest. And then the other team that is, let me see, what's the other game? What division am I
forgetting? Oh, it's the Bills. I believe it's the Bills is the other seed right now.
So, yeah, then the Bills, because the Bengals play the Browns in a rivalry game, and, yeah, Baker's not playing. Then the Bills play the Jets, right? So the Bills should probably win that game. Yeah, so, you know, it all depends, right? If the Chiefs win, great. They stay in second place.
Mm-hmm.
I will probably be picking the Bills to beat the Jets, and then the Bengals end up dropping from third to fourth.
And I know you've seen the thing online. It's been kind of weird, but about if the Jags were to beat the Colts, then all the Raiders and Broncos on Sunday Night Football would have to do is literally tie, and they would both get
the Raiders and Chargers game, right?
Yeah, or sorry, the Raiders and Raiders and Chargers game. All they'd have to do was they could knee the ball down the whole game, and they'd just tie, and they would both get in. I mean, that just it's a crazy theory, but obviously it's another one of those things you just mentioned with the 65-35. It's probably even a huger gap in the Jacksonville Colts game. You know, you're probably looking at more like 80-20, maybe, you know, as far 90-10. As that happening. Yeah, maybe, even 90-10 or who knows.
98-2.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's definitely not going to happen. But if the Chiefs
– I have seen that out there, right, where, like you mentioned, it's weird that – so, you know how in soccer – well, I don't know if you follow soccer tight, you know, closely, but the last week of the season – they all play at the same time to avoid things like this, right? Where Chiefs are playing on Saturday, and you know, so some teams can happen, some things can happen on Saturday, and then other things can happen Sunday afternoon. You know, Sunday at 12, Sunday at 3, Sunday at 7. So yeah, that's an interesting one. Like, I'm surprised the NFL, but I mean, at the end of the day, it's all about TV rights.
It is, and the reason, and I understand why they moved the Chiefs and Broncos up, because they're playing after the Titans-Texans game. If the Titans win, the Chiefs aren't going to play their starters. Why should they? Right. You know, so it is about ratings at the end of the day. They want them to have Kelce, Mahomes, Hill out there, you know, for everyone watching on TV and all that. But, no, it's – I think – I can't remember it being this interesting going into the last week. Maybe it's they added the extra game. It's made this interesting. I don't know, but it's been crazy the last two or three weeks going into this last weekend that there are, even though most things are pretty much set up the way it's going to be, there's still possibilities of different crazy things happening, you know, out there. Like, you know, Baltimore, I think, still has a chance to get in the playoffs at some weird, very, very weird, like different scenarios for them to get in. But it's been crazy, I will say, with the extra game that they added in this year. So, but I guess I'll put one more thing out there before we get to that last topic is who would you rather play against? Because obviously if the Chiefs win and the Titans obviously most likely will win, so they get that number one seed, would you rather play against the Chargers or the Raiders?
Raiders 100%.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I guess you would say the Raiders 100% because we've, you know, blown them out twice. But and you don't want to kind of really see the Chargers play again. But it's looking like it's probably going to be – if everything is the way it's going to look, it's probably the Chiefs and Chargers, right? I mean, we would
right,
think that –
it'll be, what, Colts at 6 and Chargers at 7?
Right.
Yeah, like if that doesn't happen, I'd be surprised. So, yeah, Chiefs versus Chargers, man, like the Chargers team – we all know how the Chargers are, right? They have those great moments and then they choke it away. But I mean, they took us to the wire. So yeah, that's it would be great for ratings, no doubt. But if the Raiders can find a way to win this game and whatever domino that happens and the Raiders end up as a 7th seed, I would take that over the Chargers. The Chargers, you know, have shown us that they can keep up with the Chiefs in every aspect. What about you?
Yeah, I agree with that. And here's the thing, too. We talk about ratings. I don't know if they remember they did this last year because obviously last year was the first year that there was only one bye, right, and not two byes.
Right.
I don't remember them doing Monday night games on the wild card weekend. I don't think they did it last year. But if you're talking about a game, you know, prime time, playoffs, rivals, I think this could be probably, if it's going to be the Chiefs and Chargers, I could see us playing Monday night for that game.
Yeah, so I mean, at least looking at it here, there wouldn't be no Monday. I don't think they've ever in the history of, well, I don't know about the history, but at least from what I can remember, I don't think they've ever done a Monday night game for the playoffs because they have them all wrapped up by Sunday. Now, the cool thing is, you know, with the playoff, the way they have it set up is there's never two games overlapping. You know, they're kind of like back to back. Yep. So, I mean, in a way, they're all primetime, right? Because everyone's watching. But yeah, let's say if it ends up being Chiefs versus Chargers, I mean, look at that game to be I hope for a Saturday night. I don't like, I know the NFL has that already mapped out.
Right.
But I would hope for a Saturday night because Sunday night is a little, I'm a little bit less likely to go to Arrowhead for a Sunday night game than I am for a Saturday night game.
So. And even Monday night, you're kind of put at a disadvantage because if you win, you're going to have one less day prepared than anybody else is. So that's an interesting pool that the NFL is doing this year to putting in one a game on Monday night. So I agree with you. I'd rather play on Saturday night just because you would then either have an equal opportunity as far as the next weekend having the same amount of days or maybe even an extra day if you would play on Sunday in the divisional round. So no, I totally agree with you on that. And I just one other thing that I thought about too is, you know, what's interesting is if the Titans are the number one seed, obviously if they win and then we win, we're number two seed. Back when we won the Super Bowl, remember who was the team that beat the number one seed? The Ravens were the number one seed, and who beat the Ravens was the Titans. And that's how we got our home game for the AFC Championship game that year.
Right, right.
So isn't that kind of ironic to announce the Titans is not, that could be the number one seed, and someone like maybe Buffalo and New England might be playing, them for their first game on divisional round, possibly beating them, and if the Chiefs kind of advance, having another home AFC Championship game. So interesting scenario, and I think it's going to be exciting to see how we play out. But obviously, first we got to get through this, last weekend of football.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be interesting, right? Because to me, the Titans are probably one of I wouldn't say the luckiest because they still won, and obviously they'll have won as many games as us or maybe even more. But, when you think about the Titans, Tannehill he's had a down year compared to last year. They're getting Derrick Henry back, which he still has to get up to speed and get some, just get back into game shape. But A.J. Brown, he's a great wide receiver, but he's constantly dinged up. Julio is dinged up. So it's just like, it's not the scariest one seed that we've seen in the AFC for quite some time. So, it's not as, as scary as the one seed has normally been.
It's not as promising as maybe like the Patriots in years past, right. When they were really good, it's like they were number one seed. Yep. Yeah. It's like, if they're number one seed, they're most likely not going to lose. Like they're going to have a home game, waiting to go to the Super Bowl. So I totally agree with you. In recent memory, there really hasn't, I mean, even us last year, right? You could kind of go both ways with it. I mean, I think we were more scarier the year we won the Super Bowl than we were last year, and we weren't even the number one seed that year that we won the Super Bowl. So, I think you're right. It's not been as far as like a foregone conclusion that the number one seed, at least in the AFC, even in the NFC, Packers, going to the NFC Championship game. I can't remember if they've been the number one seed the last 2 years, but obviously they were favored to go to Super Bowl the last 2 years after a certain point, and look what happened to them too as well. So, like I said, nothing is ever guaranteed for sure. So, as far as the final topic for today, kind of a little bit still football, but a little bit just kind of switching to the college level. Of course, the College Football National Championship game is on Monday night. It's going to be Alabama and Georgia. I think probably a lot of people, figured that, especially how the season was going. Once the playoff was made with the four teams in there, I think everyone figured Cincinnati and Michigan probably didn't have a chance against SEC teams. At least we probably didn't think so anyways. But what's your take on this Alabama-Georgia game on Monday night?
Yeah, so I think this is probably the most even game I guess the Clemson-Bama games are pretty even, but even though Alabama beat Georgia earlier this year, I still think this is going to be a closer-than-expected game. I mean, everything's about Georgia's defense, how good they are. I mean, and Bryce Young absolutely tore them up in the SEC Championship. So we know that. We know that's possible. But I think Kirby Smart will have, a better game plan defensively for what happened in the SEC Championship game. And if, for those that keep up with, like, the draft stock of some of the Georgia defenders, I mean, they've got, like, potentially 5 to 6 guys that may go in between the, you know, first two rounds of the NFL draft. So, you know, Georgia's defense versus Alabama's offense. We know Alabama's defense is good. But yeah, I still think at the end of the day, Alabama pulls it off because they have the better quarterback. Georgia's quarterback, I think he's, you know, I think they should have a much better quarterback, even though he does his job. But yeah, I think the difference maker at the end of the day is Bryce Young. He's the more talented quarterback, and he's got some pretty decent weapons at wide receiver for him. Nick Saban has dominated his assistants, so I think that will continue. But yeah, I think Alabama wins a little bit of a closer game. I think they'll be in the 30s. I think both teams will be in the 30s. Georgia will barely get into the 30s, and then Bama will be like on the end of it, so maybe 37, 38, depending on the scoring structure. But yeah, I'm still going to go Bama by a touchdown or 10 points in a closer than the SEC championship game.
Yeah, and I know what you were talking about earlier. For college football, it's really tough predicting a score, you know, as far as on teams like this. I agree with you on Alabama winning the game. I have a little bit higher. I went with Alabama 45 and Georgia 37. But I do think, like you said, it's definitely going to be like that, the 8 to 10 point kind of, you know, close game. But it just, the one thing I just kind of shake my head is just like Nick Saban. I mean, he's obviously, you know, the greatest college football coach of all time. Is this guy ever going to quit? I mean, obviously he keeps winning.
Yeah, it's, we just need him too, man. It's boring, right?
Yeah, I'm like, we're just like kind of all at this point. We're like, all right, we know you're great. You know, you stop winning. You know, it's like, can you move on, do something different? You know, I like to see that. But yeah, it's just like, I think, like I said, Alabama's just going to win. And what is this? Is this like his seventh, or how long? How many is this now?
I think it would be his eighth.
Or eighth. Okay.
So that's a good question, because he won the one at LSU. And I think he's won seven at Bama, right? So let me see. That's an interesting Google. But either way, I mean, he's, because Bear Bryant had, was it six or eight?
I think he's already surpassed. I want to say last year is when he surpassed Bear Bryant, I thought, but I couldn't remember.
All right. According to Google, he has, what the heck? It says 7-6. What?
Oh.
Six. So he has seven. Six are at Bama, one at LSU.
So maybe that's what he's, so if he gets, he'll have seven with Bama and one with LSU, so he'll have eight altogether. Maybe he's trying to do the whole, like, I want a ring for each finger and try to go with 10, and he's out. I'm out.
I mean, because obviously I know he's not spring chicken, but he's definitely not old.
True.
So maybe, I don't know, man. Maybe that is a thing, right? If he gets this one, it'll be eight. He's got two more, and heck, Bryce Young is only a sophomore.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, next year, yeah, he's draft eligible, and I'm sure he'll be one of the top, you know, quarterbacks available.
Yeah, because what's to say they're not going to win again next year? I mean, seriously, yeah. Depending on who all they lose and everything, but obviously they're going to get, you know, new recruits in that's almost probably just as good, if not better. So, I mean, who's to say they're not going to win again next year? It'll be nine and just, yeah, I mean, who knows? Just like I said, he's, there's nothing more to say about it other than he's just great. I mean, what he does, the players that he's been able to get to play for him, it's a great team right now to you know, you want to go play for if you're you know, really really good college athlete or football athlete. You know, definitely want to try to play at Alabama for sure.
Yeah, I mean, he's 70 years old, right? 70 mm-hmm. years, just turned 70 this year, so he's still got another 5 years in him at minimum.
Right. Yep.
So yeah, maybe that is his goal, is get the 10, get one on every
every finger. Right.
But yeah, he's going to get the eighth one this year, and then next year maybe another one with Bryce Young,
mm-hmm.
and which I think that would be the first time ever, right, that a coach would have won
eight straight. With the same team?
Right. Yeah. I mean, three straight, right?
Oh, three straight, yeah.
Because last year they won it. Who was the Mac Jones, right, with Mac Jones at quarterback.
Right.
So, man. That's it gets boring, no doubt. So hopefully Georgia makes it a game.
It does. I'd like to see, like I said, even though we both predicted Alabama to win, if Georgia were to win, that would be kind of great to see kind of a different parity there, right? If they were to kind of win. So, but yeah, looking forward to seeing that. I think I probably actually won't be able to see it. I'll probably not actually end up recording it. But so hopefully I won't miss any of the spoilers. But I probably, if I get home in time, it's probably still going to be on. So I'll probably get to catch the end of it anyway. So who knows? But yeah, they'll be looking forward to watching on Monday night for the national championship game for sure. And for that, that is actually all we have for today. Check back up with us after the weekend for our breakdown of the final game, regular season game for the Chiefs this year against the Broncos on week 18. Thanks again for everybody listening. Don't forget to follow our podcast and go Chiefs.